Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining us now to talk about her virtual appearance here at San Juan College coming up next week as part of the One Book, One Community organization, Joy Harjo is on the phone, the U.S. Poet Laureate. And Joy Harjo, it's such an honor and thrill to be talking to you on KSJE. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, I'm glad I could join you, and it's good to be here, virtually anyway.
That's right, virtually indeed. That's how we're doing things this year. Of course, Tracy Hells-Vass is here with me as well, the host of Right on Four Corners. And Tracy, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
You bet. So, Joy Harjo, we have a lot of questions for you, of course, about your work and all the other things that you're involved with, your music and some of the other things, so we'll get right to it. You are here, and you're going to be speaking virtually next week here at San Juan College in a couple of events, and so let me share that with our listeners and viewers right now, a little bit about what we're talking about. Next Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m., meet and greet via Zoom, and then your presentation will be next Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m., again, via Zoom. And of course, the one book selection is your book Crazy Brave, the memoir. And let's start talking about that. What can you tell us about this book?
Oh, wow, that was my first memoir. I'm working on my second one right now, and it's a memoir is memory, and it's early memories about really coming into personhood as a, you know, from childhood, even beforehand, family history, tribal history, it goes up to my time, I guess I was a student, it goes up to being a student at the University of New Mexico, a member of the Kiva Club, and when I started, it goes right up to the point where I started writing poetry.
Well, I really enjoyed reading your memoir, and I wondered about something. At the end of it, you say you found your voice through poetry. But through so much of it, you talked about painting and music. And I was just curious on how your other expressions of art informed your poetry.
Yes, so the music thing, which I loved, I in the memoir, I talk about walking away from it all. Mm-hmm. And I started playing sax when I was almost 40 and helped start a band called Joy Harjo and Poetic Justice that played all over the Southwest, particularly, you know, Navajo country and all over the place, Tuba City many times. And then I'm still performing and playing, of course, not in running around like I was. And I have a new album coming out that will be out in the spring, new album of music called This Morning I Pray for My Enemies. And then, so I'm still doing that. Poetry, music, dance have always been right next to each other. They are in our traditional cultures, and I think if you look at any culture in the world, the poetry, music, they're always right there. The
yes.
Art, I plan to, my plan, and I Tulsa Artist Fellowship gave me a studio, was to start painting right around the time the Poet Laureateship was announced. That's put on hold. I've been doing drawings, and it's something natural in our family. It seems like everyone, you know, is an artist. Everyone is an artist. And so that's something that, it's always with me, mm-hmm. but I haven't really developed it or worked on it in years, not since I was a young woman, an art major at the University of New Mexico.
Right.
Interesting. And so would you say that your art and your dancing is part of your voice as well, in addition to your poetry and your writing, Joy Harjo?
It's all the same voice, so to speak, all of it. You know, even the horn, when I play horn, a real kind of jazzy horn, it's still the same voice that's in poetry.
Interesting.
Very good. And the book, of course, which is being read now by students here at San Juan College and across the community as well, by sharing your story, or at least in part one of your story, of your memoir, and we're excited to hear that there's another one coming, what do you hope the students that are reading your book get from your story, get from what you're telling us in your book?
I wrote it so that they would know that we're all here together and that they have everything within them that they need to move through any predicament. That's it in particular. I wouldn't have told everything that I did. I wanted it to be helpful. I think it's important that we all, you know, that we know that we have deep inner resources that, you know, have, that reach out through, you know, ancestral, and there's just so much help around in so many forms, and I wanted them to know that. It's like the one I'm working on now. It's from a different perspective, but, you know, a similar impetus.
I find it interesting. There's so many issues that can be brought up in your memoir, and one thing I noticed was that when you went to the Indian art, it seemed to be a real salvation for you. Is that true?
Yes. I went to the Institute of American Indian Arts. Mm-hmm. I left Oklahoma and had been in public education there. I went to, it was the Bureau of Indian Affairs School then in Santa Fe, but an experiment in Indian education, mm-hmm. because most of the curriculum was the arts, and we had some of the best Native artists teaching us. And so that did save my life, because for the first time I felt like I could be myself.
Right.
You know, I always felt I was around all Natives and all Native students who were artists in some way or the other, which is a particular kind of calling, I think. So I had a community. And it's, mm-hmm. not that I didn't have community at home and so on, but it was a specific community at a specific time in my life. And it, you know, I still feel close to the school. I was actually awarded a PhD from the school recently.
Oh, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So I have a high school degree from them. Now they're a full-blown college, you know,
full-blown
arts college. But mm-hmm. And now I have a high school and a PhD degree. I don't think that happens in very many cases.
Not too many. But that's good.
Terrific. Congratulations. That's true. And Joy Hartrow, I wanted to ask you, too, a little bit about your book, of course, and the message in your book, and putting that into overlaying it on top of 2020, when we have so much going on, so much different stuff happening in our communities, and so many challenges when it comes to even just going to school, going to work, all these different things. And you write about, you know, having some of that strength within you in your memoir. Does that follow through to this crazy year?
Well, I think so. I mean, when it's there, it's there. And I think everyone, I was just writing in this new memoir about leadership, and it's within everyone. It's not, I used to think leadership meant that there were a few people and I wasn't one of them. You know, the ones that were always at the head of the class or out there doing things, but we all have that light of leadership. You know, we have to be leaders of our own thoughts and about in the world. You know, sometimes we're in situations where we don't have, we have a choice in how we're going to react.
Right.
And how we're going to handle it. We may not have a choice in, say, the pandemic coming down, the reality of that, but you know, we have a choice in the way we take care of ourselves and each other.
Very true. Well, thank you for that.
And in your memoir, you're very self-effacing about abuse, and it's interesting how abuse is passed on. In other words, some of your partners were as abusive as your fathers were. Is that a message you want to share with students here?
Yes, I think it can. I think it can be stopped, and you know, mm-hmm. that it can be that it abuse. All kinds of the gift of being an artist, all kinds of things get passed through. And I've noticed, because I was a young grandmother. I was a grandmother, mm-hmm. in my 30s, and I have great-grandchildren, so it's given me a perspective earlier on, I think. And I've noticed that sometimes, you know, and I think I did in my poetry, or sometimes it's direct prayer work where you see something that could go on into the future, a certain characteristic or something, and then you can kind of put it in your, I say imagination, but there's ways so that it doesn't, so the children and grandchildren are not carrying it.
Right.
So that book, in a way, is a, you know, it's a way, and it's, I think, even more direct head-on in my new book, which will be called Poet Warrior, A Call for Love and Justice. You know, it's about, in a way, it's about, you know, putting that into the consciousness of, like, wait, you know, we don't, right. do not have to be bound by our, you know, by the, we don't have to be bound by this historical trauma.
Right.
It becomes familial trauma. We can, you know, we have the ability, and there's a lot more help apparent these days to move that out, to transform it.
Right.
So that it does not haunt and hurt anyone anymore.
I like the way in the memoir you discover that, too. You say, here I am in the same situation. I don't have to be anymore.
Right, right.
Now, I'm going back to the first question about your art and your creativity being the same voice. Now, was it a switch to write a memoir and all the way across the page rather than poetry?
I've done, before the memoir, I'd written short stories. The memoir included some of the
Yes, it did.
Pieces. So I've written short stories, I've written plays, screenplays, other kinds of prose, you know, blogs, all kinds of things. So, but yeah, it's a different, you know, it's a different kind of motion or movement when mm-hmm. you're working more narratively than rather than lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, too, if you have any advice for our budding writers here at San Juan College or in the Four Corners community, whether it's a memoir, a short story, or even some poetry, Joy Harjo, what would you say to some of our listeners and viewers this morning of what inspires you?
Well, one thing, and this is, I was thinking about this, and I was writing about this recently, it's like, even now, I think about the decision to become a poet, which really, in some ways, it doesn't feel like it was my decision, that it kind of came to me. I was on this other track. But poetry has been one of my biggest teachers. We have all kinds of teachers. Sometimes they can be stone outcrop that has a presence, or you know, somebody who speaks to you through a book or a dream, or even your mother, your brothers or sisters, you know, we have all kinds of teachers. But let's see. Well, remind me of the question.
Your inspiration to students and what your advice might be.
Yes. So the thing is that you just have to, one, follow what we all have wisdom within us. Everyone does. And just follow that. And if you want to write, there's a lot of people that talk about writing, but they don't do it. They don't write. They don't read. They don't listen. And it's really about developing that. For any field you go into, it's about listening, ultimately. And, you know, I think a lot of people have this misconception that poets just, you know, or songwriters, you just get an idea like a flash, you write it down, and there it is. But we're just, it's like if you ever watch a sculptor sculpting, something, and you watch, you know, you see a sketch and watch all of this come about. It's a process. That's the same thing with writing, whether it's a poem, a story, or a memoir. Like right now, I'm probably going through about the 10th revision of the memoir, and a lot of it is that crafting. Right. So, you know, it just takes, you just have to, there's a dedication, which means, you know, a dedication for it and a respect for it. And it's possible for anyone to, you know, that if you really want to do it and practice. It's a kind of practice that is not just about writing.
That's right. That's right.
Very true. I think we have time for one more question, Tracy, if you have one for Joy Harjo.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the process, the writing process, and how it involves revision. And a writer needs to recognize the revision process. In your poetry, that sounds so natural. You revised those also?
Yes, probably more than, well, even this prose, I mean, I'm revising heavily. And mm-hmm. I always do that to make it, get it to the best place possible. I think I have that responsibility for the poem. Because sometimes I see it like making a little house for the spirit of the poem to live in. You want it to look good, and you want all the doors to open and close right. You know, you want to have windows for sunrise. You know,
I like that.
So it's like that.
That's a great metaphor.
Very true. Well, Joy Harjo, it's, again, been a delight and an honor to have you talking with us today and have you on KSJE, and we're so thrilled that you're coming to San Juan College, to virtually coming to San Juan College to meet with us next week on September 30th. The meet and greet again at 3 p.m. and your presentation at 6 p.m. It's all available on Zoom, part of the One Book, One Community program here. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I want to say yacht a bene to everybody out there.
Thank you.
I guess it's still morning. It feels like it's still morning here.
You're right.
Okay.
It most certainly is.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Do take care.
Okay.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.